All right, here we go. Kenny, dude, how are we? I'm excited, man. What's going on?
Doing good, man. Doing good, man. Just trying to stay busy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. No complaints. It's obviously it's Wednesday currently, and this is no secret. So anyone that's gonna come for me, I don't care, but it's the day before Thanksgiving. If you're listening to this 2 weeks from now and you're like, oh, whatever, screw you. I got things I gotta do. All right. Listen, pre-recording is important. So but it's 2 days before Thanksgiving, and then we get to do whatever we want. And I don't know what by you. Is this a so I'm from Northern New Jersey, right? But is it a I guess maybe a regional thing, or is this like a nationwide thing where like Wednesday is like a big before Thanksgiving is like a big going out night?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so it is everywhere. That's not just like, okay, like part of me looks forward to this night, and then part of me is like, screw this, I don't want to do it. Because you always bump into all those people you don't want to see. You know what I mean?
Because everyone's home.
Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about that. Are you a night before Thanksgiving guy, or are you not a night before Thanksgiving guy?
Well, honestly, if I'm being honest with you, I just turned 21, so this is going to be my first year of like actually going out and
Are you
like
going to
doing
take advantage of it?
Oh, for sure.
All right. All right. Listen,
Going, we're in the town, going
I'm gonna
downtown.
expect updates. Yeah,
All
I'm gonna
right.
need to know how it goes.
I'll
I
tag
think
you
because
in the
I'm
videos.
25,
Okay.
and I think when I was 21, actually no, when I turned 21, we were still in the whole quarantine BS. So I guess I didn't, but I guess maybe when I turned 22, I did. And then ever since then, I'm like, because you get older and like the conversations get weirder, right? It's not like where are you at right now. It's like who's moved where, who's doing what for work, who's gonna get engaged soon. You know what I mean? And those are three conversations I never want to have.
Exactly.
So it's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
That's cool.
And then I'm sure as you get older, I always joke around about this. Like people are like my buddy's he's a few years older than me, and he's going to his like 10-year high school reunion soon. And I was like, I don't know, 10 seems like enticing. I might go for 10. I probably wouldn't go for 20. And then 30, I'd go because at 10, you find out who's getting married and who's going to have kids and like, is all excited about life. And then 30, you find out who's getting divorced and like, hey, you know what I'm saying?
Who's gained 70 pounds and who's
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like 10 and 30 are the sweet spots. 20, I might just miss, but 10 and 30, those might be the good ones. Anyway, I digress. So that's great. You're 21, right? So you live in Nashville now. A lot of things have happened to you in a very short amount of time, especially I just since maybe since I've been following you, but I've been following along for a while. I think you're a first put on my radar, like we talked about. I think it was my friend Will that tagged you in one of my videos for Mark Wills.
It
Is that
might
what
have been. Yeah,
Will
maybe.
Danat is Will?
Yeah.
Okay, so then I think
I
it was
love Will. I haven't
yeah.
seen Will in a while. He's a good dude.
I'll see Will in like 2 weeks or something like that. But Will's a he's a good friend of mine. And essentially, for people who don't know, I went on this, but I've been doing this for a long time. But years and years ago, I like was like, TikTok's an interesting app, and I don't even really like the app that much. I actually think it's entertaining, but from a content purpose, I don't like it. But I like went on a thing where I like reach out to Clay Walker on TikTok and it worked. And like I got him on here and it was cool. So then I was like, oh, like I see Mark Wills is pretty active. Like I love Mark Wills. Like let's try and get him on, right? So I posted a video and Will tagged Kenny here and because there's some sort of connection there. And it worked. Like we ended up having him on. It was great. It was a great episode. So that's kind of where I don't know if I think I followed you before that, but that's like kind of where I first started to like dive into your stuff. So what is your story like to find you where you are now in terms of a writer and an artist and how you found yourself in Nashville? What's that all about?
I pretty much grew up doing music. My dad is a musician as well. He was in he's more of a rock guy. He was in like a Christian rock band growing up, and then got into ministry doing church. So I kind of was always in the church doing music and stuff like that. And then I was going to play football in college just at the local NAIA school, and decided to pursue music instead. Noticed that I was getting more and more passionate about it. And so I did a semester of college and then took a semester off had a kind of a conversation with my parents, telling them that I really wanted to pursue this writing and playing shows thing. Cause I, up until then, I really hadn't played my own gigs. Right. I'd done a couple talent shows and stuff like that. But, so they agreed, let me take a semester off. Went really well. I wrote some, what I thought were good songs, but looking back, terrible songs, got them produced. And then, got to the end of that semester and decided to take another semester off. And this whole time I was working heating and air, to help pay for these, this stuff, like getting music produced and stuff. And then at the end of that second semester that I took off, was December of 2021. And I had taken a couple trips to Nashville and hooked up with some guys, started writing with, Christian Yancey, if you know him. He's my roommate now, but just decided to take a leap. I was 19 and had nothing better to do, and knew that it was like I didn't have any real responsibilities, and just decided to say screw it and move to Nashville.
Yeah.
And luckily, my parents were all for it. They've been the most supportive people in my life up until now. I'm super grateful for them. But yeah, I just kind of said screw it and did it.
Hey, listen, I think that's like. That is, and I think it's great that like you said screw it and did it when you were, you know, 18, 19, whatever it might've been. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause like you got a jump start. Like part of me wishes I said screw it and do it when I was, you know, 19, 20, whatever, 21, like I still 25, like I still wish I said screw it and do it. But, yeah. I think it's honorable. Cause like, you don't know what's out there. Right. And like, you know, you were dabbling, but like you don't in a city of all of these big fish, like you don't know really, you're still a small fish. So it's like very intimidating when you go over there. But where did the interest grow from? Because like you said, your dad played and you know, so you grew up in a musical household, but were you like, what was there, something is what I'm trying to get at. Was there something that like made you really interested and you said, okay, like I'm going to start playing more, or I'm going to start singing more. Like, was there a moment that made you like super looped in where you said, I think I love this.
Yeah. I wish I had a moment.
Yeah.
Like that. I'm sure there might've been one, but yeah. Not really that I remember. I feel like it's just always been a part of my life, man. Cool. Just like since as long as I can remember, I've been singing, and I started playing guitar in seventh grade. My dad taught me, and I think it's just been so a part of my life that looking back, I don't know how I could have ever seen me doing anything else.
Sure.
So yeah.
Is your you said your dad's a rock guy more or less, like is, mm-hmm. so my dad's a rock guy too, but my dad's like one of those rock guys that is claimed that basically dies on the hill that all of today's country music singers are just want to be rock stars. I couldn't do it, right? He like dies on the hill, and I hate that because I'm like, cause he doesn't get it. Right. Like it's, I guess it's different from when you're up here and you don't grow up listening to it. Like he doesn't understand it, but mm-hmm. I hate that. Cause it doesn't make any sense to me. And as much as you try and tell him that he's wrong, he'll never agree. But is your dad like that? Or did he just really love rock music, but he also loved country music?
No, he's he loves both for sure. He's a big Waylon Jennings guy. And like, he loves the old school country music as well. But I think just growing up, he was kind of a rebel child in his family. He grew up in a super Southern Baptist and sure. just wanted to rebel, and rock music was the biggest way. Even though it was Christian rock music, it was still his way of rebelling. So I think he saw it as that, but yeah, he's a huge country guy too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love like when you find, you know, people like yourself that are getting really into music, and there's like that relatability factor. Like you can go to your dad and say like, dad, like I'm sure that the gap is closed in terms of what he can do and what you can do on a guitar, or just like, you know, just musical ability just in general, just cause you both do it so much. But like, it's pretty cool if you can like go to him and like relate and say like, hey, do you have any idea how I should play this or how I should approach this? Or even maybe in terms of writing songs, right? Like I'm sure that there's like even some knowledge in there. So at least you're not, you know, in a household where like no one knows what's going on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think that really helps you, especially at a young age. Sure. I think that's really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah. He was one of the, when I first started writing music, he was my co-writer.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's great.
I would bounce my ideas off of him, and I'm sure he was too just nice to me.
Yeah, man,
it sounds great. No, it's
you know, they always say, they say that you you will be great if you only play for your family. But the second you go out, then and you hear some sort of like negative backlash, then you know you're at least good. Because if someone's telling you you stink, you're at least making it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's great. I love it. What was your experience like when you got to Nashville and you started writing with these guys? Were you super intimidated, or like, was it just kind of like, wow, the whole world is in front of me? Because like, where did you grow up? I didn't even ask that.
I grew up in Georgia.
Okay, so like suburban town, big town, small. Like, what was the?
Pretty big. It was one of those towns that was small when I was little and then like blew up really quick.
Sure.
I went to Woodstock High School and played football there. But yeah, it's pretty populated, I'd say.
It wasn't like a culture shock to go to Nashville.
No, not too much. There was definitely an intimidation factor.
Sure.
I think that's with anyone, especially coming in at 19 years old. And there's
I also think that just going to any city at 19.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't move to New York City at 19 years old. I wouldn't even move there at 25. Let's just be honest.
I've never even been there. So,
hey, listen, if you never go, well, I shouldn't say that. If you get to go, you're going to see what I mean. Right. I'm not saying it's a bad place. You know, a lot of people that love it, right? It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, if you ever have a reason to go, you're going to get what I mean. Cause like, you know, people aren't all that nice. And like, mm-hmm. you only know you only really get it like once you go to another city. But I don't even really know how to explain it. It's just insane. It's an insane place. There's insane people there, and not everything moves that fast, but you only know that until you go to another city. So if you get to go, let me know how it goes. It's very interesting. It's a hell of a place. And if you go to Times Square, don't give anyone your money. If they ask for a picture, just don't do it. Trust me, just don't do it. So you go to Nashville, 19 years old, you move there. You feel great. You start meeting some people. You got a hell of a voice on you. So like, do you know anyone prior? Obviously you said, Christian Yancey, right? Like he's your roommate and you started writing with him. Like, do you know anyone prior to going there where they can say, hey, go here at this day and go here at this day. And like, that's a good way for you to connect with people.
Yeah. So I got connected first with, I don't know if you've heard the name Sam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, one of my best buddies, and you might know, you know, he passed recently, the past couple months, unfortunately, but, he was really the first person in my ear telling me to move to Nashville. We connected on, Instagram in like 2020 when I was still in high school, and, just constantly DMing me and commenting on stuff, telling me I needed to move to Nashville or needed to make a trip and write with him. So, finally I went up to produce with Jake Parshall, if you know that name. He's produced all of my stuff.
Cool.
And kind of got connected with Sam, and Sam introduced me to Christian, and then I wound up moving in with Christian. Luckily, they had a huge friend group of guys that were very similar to me and guys that I could get along with real well, and I was really lucky to get put into that group.
That's encouraging.
They welcome me with open arms, and they've been my best buddies ever since. So.
That's awesome. That's really encouraging. I think that's something that you don't always find. And it's cool that you did, right? When you're there, right? And you're hanging out with these dudes. Like, I feel like that sometimes, like, you know, we've been talking to a lot of people for a long time. And you have some people that say, like, I really wanted to be the next Brad Paisley. We'll just use that example.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have someone that says, I really wanted to be the next Jack Ingram. I don't know. I was just thinking of a writer and an artist, right? Like, was there a middle ground for you, or did you say, because obviously we didn't even talk about this. Like, you're a great guitar player. Like, you play guitar for Austin Snow, right?
Yes,
so like, so was there a performing aspect to you, or was there just like strictly a writing aspect? Like, I you know, there are so many guys out there, that also play guitar. Like, you know, Jason Nix, great guitar player, writes a lot of songs. Rob Williford, great guitar player, writes a ton of songs, right? Like, that's what he wants to do. And that's really all he wants to do. Is that the thing for you? Like, do you want to just write songs, or is there just also a performing itch? And that's what you get out of it by doing both.
Yeah. I think growing up, it was more of the performing itch. I've always been a pretty quiet and shy person. So performing is still, I still got to get out of my shell a little bit. The writing aspect came later in life, really, like I said, like the year before I moved to Nashville. Mm-hmm. So I think it was more the performing itch. Cool. I'd say.
I love that. Cause I don't think that you necessarily hear that from a young guy. I think that a lot of young, and then this is not a negative thing, I guess, but I feel like a lot of people that are young, like at us, like, right. And they decide to pick up and move to Nashville. The quote unquote, easier way in the door is saying that you want, did you see that?
Yeah. What was that?
What the hell was that?
Happy birthday, brother.
What the, it's not my birthday. For anyone that's not watching this right now, which if you're not watching this, cause I'm not going to pick this clip, but, I just had a bunch of random balloons fly up in front of my screen. That was so weird. I've never seen that ever.
I haven't either.
Wow. That was so random. Hey, listen, it's a random day, man. I'm telling you, tech problems. Here we are. Now we're seeing balloons. I don't know what's going to pop up next, but, that was crazy. And I'm not going crazy. I swear I'm not like on any drugs or anything. We're just like chilling. And
yeah, I was trying to read you, see if you were seeing it or not. I wasn't going to say anything.
That's so wild. It would have been funnier if neither of us said anything. I think that would have been funny. That was insane. Anyway, I don't even know where I was at, but, I don't even know where I was, but let's just talk about guitar playing. Cause I think this is a really interesting aspect of your career and your journey. Yeah. And where you're at, because people, often talk about Music City and they talk about country music, especially like ones that are up here that don't really understand the culture of it all. And mm-hmm. I basically go ahead and tell them that like the town is nuts, because like you walk into any bar and your bartender could be like one of the most talented people in the room and you would have no idea. Yeah. Or the person pouring you coffee can be like a massive songwriter in terms of like actually writing songs. Still, what is this bubble? What are we doing? Now there's another thing here. This is insane. Can I like turn this off?
Is that the computer you got there, brother?
I guess so. It's like speaking. I don't know. This is wild. All right. I don't know what's happening, but we're just going to let it roll. And maybe
just roll with it, man.
Maybe we'll see something. But but like the people that are, you know, pouring your coffee they could have written hundreds and hundreds of songs cut by some artists that you probably know, but they just maybe don't have a publishing deal, right? Like there's all these people out there. And the one thing I say all the time is like the example I use is like Tyler King, right? Like Luke Combs' guitar player, right? Mm-hmm. He's got an insane voice. And mm-hmm. like every time he gets out during Luke's show and like sings a song, it's like this like mind blowing thing, but he's also he does a solo thing also at the same time. So it's like, people don't really get that, but like you're a good example because you obviously play guitar for Austin, but you have an insane voice yourself, right? And it's like butter. And I'm not even just saying that because you're sitting here. Like it's just for me, it's just gives me chills every time you sing. But
thank you so much, man.
So how did that whole thing, you know, come to be with Austin? Like obviously, you know, his career is a whole other aspect. Like it totally blew up in a pretty short amount of time, but he's fantastic. How did it all come to be? Did you guys just like run into each other, or like do you apply to be a guitar player like through Instagram or something? Like how does it all work?
No, so Austin's one of my best friends. Cool. I met him. I was a part of pretty much his first co-write when he moved to town. He just kind of got what I had a write scheduled, and one of the guys that was in the write had, I guess, hit Austin up when he first moved to town in May, and added him to our right. So he walked in with his skinny legs and goofy glasses, had this amazing, which I already knew who he was, because of TikTok. We followed each other on TikTok, and he's obviously got an incredible voice, but we just hit it off from there, became really good buddies. And then it came time, he started blowing up with Excuse the Mess, and came time for the Warren Zeiders tour that he was doing. And I never learned how to solo or any scales, pentatonic scales, anything like that until I moved to Nashville. Really what happened was I was just bored. I had so much more time on my hands being in Nashville, and I was trying to do music full time and just living pinching pennies. So I started learning basic scales and stuff. And by the time I met him, I was decent enough to where it seemed like I kind of knew what I was doing, but I really didn't. He wanted someone that could sing harmonies real well and also, you know, play a couple solos. because he was doing that acoustic tour opening up for Warren Zeiders, and I wound up doing that with him. And then we did Willie Nelson Run in May.
Dude, that's so nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, man.
I'm sure your dad was all in on that. That's so
oh, for sure. Yeah.
Oh my man. God.
It was awesome. But yeah, he started doing the full band thing, and at first he was running a lead guitar player and a bass player.
Yeah.
Then he got to the point where he decided he wanted two guitar players. He liked the look of two guitar players more. And he runs tracks in his show. So we're just such good buddies. There's a million guitar players within a mile radius of me and him in Nashville that are way better than me and could blow me out of the water. But we just have a good relationship, and
yeah,
it's a good hang. Most of 90% of being on the road is being a good hang.
Yeah.
And so we get along well, and I am decent enough to be the rhythm guitar player and play a few solos every now and then. So yeah, it's been really cool.
I think it's really cool. And I think it just, it makes your experience so much more, right? Like, it makes it so much better because you can take what you learn from being on tour with these guys and bring that into your own music career. Right. And I think that's so valuable. It's kind of like, the way I look at it is, and it's not this because it's much bigger than this, but it's kind of like having an internship when you're in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely,
it's much bigger than that, obviously. But you're learning from people that are doing it while you're doing it,
right?
And then applying that to what you want to know and learn as a solo artist. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's that's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice to get that experience and also not have all of the stress and all of the focus on you as the artist.
Well, it's like you're playing music with your buddies, right? Like, that's awesome.
Right, yeah. Literally, like, all of the guys in Austin's band are my best friends now. Like, they're my brothers, and I love them to death. But, yeah, it's cool.
It's so sweet. Like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people. And I'm sure, like, when you moved out of that town in Georgia, right? Like, I'm sure that there are some people that said, like, he's going to go and try and play music, but, like, what's really going to happen? Like, he's going to end up playing, you know, like, cover gig somewhere forever, but like now you're, you know, playing these huge shows, and like that's so cool. Like, and just to be able to do both sides of it, and like you said, right? Like, there might be, you know, tens of twenties of people that are better guitar players within a mile radius of you, right? But like, you're also practicing way more by doing this, so you're just you're naturally just getting better,
right?
So that's the other part of it too. Plus, you get to play in front of bigger crowds that you probably wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like there's a whole other aspect to it all. What has been your favorite part about being on tour? Not even necessarily like with the guys, because like I'm sure like hanging out with the guys and being on the bus is probably like your favorite part. But overall, like, you know, what would you say like when you come off tour, you're like, oh man, I really missed that part?
Man, I mean, there's not a lot that I don't love about it.
That's cool.
So it's hard to pick out one thing, but yeah, like you said, hanging out with the boys is fun, but just the adrenaline rush, man, of being on stage, just like those first, the couple minutes before, like all the nerves building up before, and then you hit the stage, and it's just almost like there's times where it's almost like I look over at Miles, the other guitar player, and it's just like giddy, like you're just so having so much fun that you just like it's a blast, man. I love it.
Explain this to me, and I'm very naive about this just because I don't play instruments, and I understand this world, but there are some things I'm not totally keen in on yet. But so do you guys use in-ears, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you have your in-ears in, right, mm-hmm. and you're playing the guitar, you don't actually hear yourself, or do you?
No, I do, yeah.
You hear yourself, but do you hear the rest of the band?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is there something that you're not hearing, like, because I just don't understand that. Like, someone said to me yesterday, like, oh, like, they use monitors, so, like, it must be so loud. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. So, in-ears, you can – what we do is we have an app on our phone that connects to the whatever monitor that it's running out of.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind of control the levels of I want more of me and more of my mic singing harmonies and a little bit less of Austin's vocal, but still want to hear him. So you kind of get it set, and then it saves that way. So most of the time you're set for the show and you don't have to really control much of that mix, but you're also hearing some of the tracks and the clicking guide. So it'll give you like an intro, two, three, four, and you're
oh,
kind
really?
of on to the click. Yeah.
Huh. And then
so it
do you
just,
guys
it allows for the band to be way more tight and just allows for the best show
and
possible.
Then do you guys have like, I don't even know what the technical term is for it, but the microphone where like you guys could talk to each other, but obviously.
Yeah, we got talkback mics. Yeah.
Okay. So like, okay. So what, like, are those mostly like, do you ever have a moment where like, oh, it's like, I mean, obviously you have a set list, but is it just BS conversations or like, is it usually like,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I figured. I figured that. It's funny. I went to go see the Muscadine Bloodline Boys probably in early August. They were in Brooklyn, New York, and they've never come up here before. And I was like, I got to go. I mean, I've been listening to them since I was fucking, you know, 17 or something, 18. Yeah. And I was like, I got to go. So I go and I was with my buddy and you know, we've sat pretty close before. We've gotten pretty, we've been blessed to get some good seats to shows and things like that. But it was a pit show and that's all it was. And we just got there really early. So we got up really, really close, like pretty much up against the stage. And they obviously have a talkback mic as well, but they have one that's like kind of right next to the drummer. Mm. And Gary and Charlie use it like very often. Yeah. But you know when they're like bullshitting because like one will say something. And I think for the most part, because Gary was really, he was really using it, but he would go and he'd say something and then Charlie would like laugh if he was like looking out to the crowd. Like you knew that they were like bullshitting about something.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they were talking about like some stupid idiots in the crowd, like doing some dumb stuff. Like I'm sure that that's a conversation.
Yeah.
But I like was pretty locked in and I was watching the whole show, obviously, but every time someone walked to that mic, I was looking at someone talking to the mic and I was looking at the reaction from the rest of the stage every single time. Because I know that there's some dumbass in the crowd they're talking about or something. They're talking about something, right? I don't know. I find it really intriguing. I think it's a really interesting part of it. Like you don't understand. Like you don't just get up there and play and hope for the best. We're not in high school. You know what I mean? Like it's just not your like garage band. So I think that whole aspect of keeping everything really tight is pretty cool. So interesting. That's very interesting. Can you hear yourself? Like, I mean, obviously you can hear your guitar, but like, is there a learning curve to it, like where it's a lot and maybe like you got to like learn to focus on one thing because there's so
yeah
much
it definitely is a learning curve. The church that I led worship at, a church in my hometown before I moved to Nashville, and we ran in-ears there, so I was already kind of used to it by that point. But it definitely is a learning curve when you first start, for sure.
All right, cool. Now I know. Cause you know, a lot of my friends will ask me like, what do those things in their ears do? And I'm like, I kind of know, but I like don't really know, but now I know. So that's cool.
You know, really learn something new every day.
Look at that. I guess so. I mean, even if you're as stupid as me, you learn something new every single day. I think that's amazing. Let's talk about, the song you recently, teased. Cause I think it's absolutely fantastic actually.
Like Blue Collar.
Just Blue Collar. Okay. All right, cool. I love it. Are you gonna like actually record this? Because I think it's really good and I really think you should. Because what I like about you is like you play with Austin, right? And like Austin's very rockish. And I think that's really good in terms of your guitar playing. But like your songwriting leads to, and you're like the stuff that you have out right now, like if you like Holler was very rockish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like if you look at like some of the stuff that you're writing recently and teasing, like it's very country.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me more about it.
Yeah. Well, as an artist, that's definitely where my heart is. Holler and Hurt People were very early on moving to Nashville. I wrote Holler before I even moved to Nashville. It was one of the trips I made to Nashville, and I wrote it with Sam and a couple other guys. But it was just really before I knew what I wanted to do. I was so young. And obviously, I'm still really young, but I think I've finally started to dial in. Because I heard for so long, people would tell me, man, your voice is so good with that old school sound. Like you should dive into that. And for some reason, I never really paid attention to that, even though I loved that style of music. Like I'm a huge Keith Whitley fan, George Jones, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I finally just like decided to have an open mind about it and started singing it. And now looking back, I don't know what I was thinking before. I guess I was just trying to be like everyone else.
Well, that's what I think a lot of it comes to, right? Is like, I mean, even as listeners, like, you know, we're close in age. Like I always talk about how for so long I can actually remember a time where I said to my friends, like country music sucks. know what I mean? Like I remember a time where that was a thing. Now, granted, I was probably listening to the wrong things. And that's what I was basing my opinion on. But I also remember years and years later driving to school in my 2006 Jeep Grand Cherokee, right? Like blasting the hell out of some like really old Brad Paisley. Like I started from the new stuff, and I started making my way backwards. So like the older stuff didn't come into my life until probably college, but yeah. I remember like blasting some like pretty old twangy stuff, like pulling into the parking lot, right? And like that was weird. Like I was weird. I know that. Like I know that I wasn't like a normal New Jersey music listener. Mm-hmm. But like I feel like, as young people most of the time do, like you just kind of buy into what your friends are doing. And like, you know, I'm sure it's cool around a lot of your friends to like listen to that stuff, but like when you look at the broader picture of things, you know, like most people aren't putting that kind of sound. But I think it's cool that you're now buying into it, because I really do think it sounds great. And it's awesome. So keep it up, because like this is your thing. Like I think you found what you're looking for.
I think so too.
I hope that you keep going with it. I really do. Where are some of your, if you had to pick like a, I always ask this question. If you had to pick like a Mount Rushmore of country music artists, you mentioned George Jones, you mentioned Keith Whitley. Who else is on there? If you give me like, what is it? Three more.
Oh man. Let's see. I'd probably put Alan Jackson up there.
Okay.
For me. Let's see who else. Can I put Jake Worthington up there?
Yeah, you can. I'm a massive Jake fan. Massive. Yeah. Jake's been really good to me. He's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, man, I just listened to y'all's podcast the other day.
Yeah, he's really great. I got something funny to say about Jake. He's great though. It's so funny because he's so country, and obviously I'm so not. So when we had conversations, like I had to give him a beat before he responded to each thing. And that's just like a typical, you know what I mean? That's a northern and southern separation.
Yeah, he's real slow and
like takes time. And like
he chooses his words wisely for sure.
He does, and he knows what he's, and I think that's really smart, because maybe I don't, but he knows what he's doing. But what a great dude. And man, he's keeping the sound alive. You know what I mean?
He is. Yeah.
Like it could not be
one of the best voices ever.
Oh my God. And he's so grateful for the genre and the people that love the genre for what it is. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's so important, because, you know, I love Cody Johnson, but like Cody Johnson loves country music, but Cody Johnson also did what Jake did for 10 plus years before he kind of like got bought into, you know, like the machine, I guess we'll say. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like now Jake is like a little bit greener than that. And he just loves genre for everything that it is. And I think that's so cool. I think
absolutely.
I mean, he's sick, but man, he loves country music. I love that. I really do. What's your favorite Jake Worthington song? That's an important question.
Oh man, that's hard.
That new record was amazing.
Yeah,
it really was. I got one.
I mean, I'm big on the upbeat stuff when it comes to his music. So probably like, I don't know, Next New Thing, Honky Tonk Crowd, one of those.
Next New Thing's awesome.
What's your favorite?
I mean, I love the upbeat stuff too, but I also really love his slow stuff. Like I think Closing Time is an insane song.
Closing Time, right?
And to put that at the end.
He wrote that with a good, not a good buddy of mine, but
Nick Walsh, right?
Nick Walsh, yeah.
Yeah. Great song. What a great song. I don't know Nick personally. He seems like a really great guy. But
he is a good dude.
Yeah, that song's so good. Oh man. But then the funny thing about Jake is like, I still have that 2017 EP downloaded on my phone that I like pretty much listen to like often. Yeah. And he
Hell
like
of a highway, all
Hell
of that
of
stuff.
A highway. Don't think twice.
Don't think twice.
Come on. Come on. What are we doing? Like, I think that it's just
big time lonesome was in my set list. And when I was doing the acoustic stuff before I moved to Nashville, I used to sing that all the time.
Yeah, I think it's so great. And it's funny because I brought that up to him. You know, obviously it's been a while, but I brought up that EP, and he's like, you know, because if you look at it, like he waited a very long time to put music out again.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, why? Like, why would you wait so long? Because I remember when he first hit the scene, right? Because I was really into it. And I was like, oh, this guy's great. I have no idea who he is, but he's really good. And then he like went away. And like, you didn't hear from him. And I'm like, man. So I asked him, I said, like, as a fan, like you just disappeared and I didn't hear anything from you. And he's like, well, to be honest with you, like I don't think those songs were that great. And I just didn't have anything else to put out. And I was like, well, I guess if he's honest, he's honest. You know what I mean? Like, like if he didn't have the songs, he didn't have the songs. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, I think him, he's great. And like, even his guitar player is a great artist, Jacob Boyd. He's Yeah, he's great too. I mean, he's like the nicest guy in the world. Funny thing about him, his parents own a general store in Texas called the Kenny Store. And they get like a bunch of like random artists that'll come through and play music. Like any, like Kevin Denny goes and plays there a lot, apparently. Like there's just obviously Jake plays there, but like it's just a cool place. Anyway, that Texas music scene is so cool. I love it.
It is, man.
Are you, I heard this thing, you mentioned Alan Jackson, so I want to ask you. Someone was talking about, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was, I want to say it was Grady Smith, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Someone was talking about George Strait. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, like, the king of country music, right? And I recognize that George Strait's amazing. But I also think whenever you talk about that with someone, they say, like, yeah, during that time period in terms of megastars, it's either one or two. It's either George or Alan, right? Like, and they're neck and neck. Personally, I'm an Alan Jackson guy because Alan wrote a lot of his stuff, and I think that's really cool. Not that there's any diminishing to guys that pick. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, you, for me, listening to Alan Jackson, I really hear the story, and I really feel it more from Alan than I do from George Strait. And I love George Strait. There's no, no, I don't, but... that's how I feel about Alan Jackson. That's why I think if I had to pick the two, I would take Alan Jackson over.
Yeah. But I'm the same way. I love someone that can write a song and sound great singing it. So,
right. So I don't know. I think that it's an interesting conversation. But I kind of get where people are coming from in terms of liking the guy who wrote a lot of his stuff, not because it's better or worse, just because you feel it more.
More personal.
I think that's really cool. Now for people who are 18, 19 years old, right? And they want to move to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to do it, or they don't know what to do, or they're nervous to do it, whatever it might be. As someone who just picked up and said, screw it and did it, what is your advice to them? Even if that is pick up and screw it and do it.
Yeah, I'd say that is my advice. Just quit thinking so much and start doing.
Now, when you get there though, there's got to be some sort of a thought process. What is the one thing that if someone can get there and do it, then what is the next step once they're there?
Well, the main thing when you first get to town is just networking and meeting people, which is hard as a 19-year-old because you can't get into any bars, can't go to Red Door, you can't.
I thought it was, it's not 18. I thought it was 18.
Mm-mm.
Oh, 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, I look a little bit like Christian, and so I got to use one of his IDs for a couple times before I turned 21. Every now and then, when I was feeling ballsy,
I love it.
But yeah, it's all about meeting people and shaking hands, man, and being the nicest guy in the room.
I think that's great. I was thinking about that too. I didn't know that. I didn't even realize that. I really thought it was 18. That's crazy. So you really had to go through it. That's nuts.
Yeah. I pretty much spent a year and a half of just writing with the people that I already knew, the friend group that I got put into. And every now and then I'd hit someone up on Instagram and get linked in with them, but there was not much. Now, Live Oak, I could get into sometimes if that's I was playing around. And every now and then I could, you know, sneak in there.
Yeah, sure. So wait, so if you're around, you were allowed in? They let you in? If you were playing, they let you in?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Cause that's a great, I've been there. That's a great place to just like meet people. And, you know, I feel like that's like a great place for a lot of people that are like, I like to call it introvert extroverts. Mm-hmm. Like the place it's not always body to body. There's room to move, right? And you can actually like sit at a table.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a great place maybe I'll just group myself into that. Like people like me, but, that's interesting. That's what I was going to ask. Cause I know that I knew for a fact that there was other 18-year-olds that I saw playing at Live Oak. So I thought,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, they'll throw a wristband on you until you got to leave once you're done playing, but you just kind of stick around for as long as you can until they tell you to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Interesting. Okay. That's good then. Cause like for me, like that was the one thing I thought about, like 18 years old, like, what are you going to do? Like, where are you going to go?
Right.
And you just gotta have people like that give you a chance. That's cool. Okay. That's good to know. I mean, not for me, but for the ones that are listening, that's good right. to know. I love right. it. All right. Awesome. So, like I said, we'll close it out this way. There's a couple of things I want to say, but I gotta ask. Thanksgiving's tomorrow. Are you a turkey guy or no turkey guy?
I'm definitely a turkey guy. I'm more of a ham guy.
Okay.
I'll have both on my plate for sure.
Well, tomorrow. You're Southern. Are you do you guys fry turkey? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you do in your house. You fry the turkey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, you know, up here, I mentioned that once and my mom said that's dangerous. And I was like, then we're not the same. Clearly. Yeah. Cause you got to dip it in the fryer, right? I guess it is not like if you're too close, like it could really screw you. But I mean, I guess I get it. But so I'm not a turkey guy. I mean, I guess I am a turkey guy because I'm not really a ham guy on Thanksgiving. That's my only thing.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. Are you? But do you think that the sides control the Thanksgiving dinner?
Control it? I mean, I'm a big sides guy, so me I too. Guess yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your favorite sides? That's important.
Man, just about everything.
Okay.
You see this? You see these cheeks and this double chin on me?
Listen, I don't know if it shows my cheeks yet, but in my gut, it's starting to show.
It's been there for me. It's been
I'm
there.
Telling you. I hunch over now. I'm like, man, what is this thing that's like blocking me from sitting over? What are we doing?
Right.
And I got looped into doing a, I don't know if your family's ever been like this. Mine has not. And I guess this is the first year, but I'm doing a turkey trot tomorrow. Like a 5K.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not really
catch me doing that.
Oh no, you shouldn't catch me doing that either. I don't know what I got into. My cousins are like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, I guess. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm gonna earn my beers or something. I don't know.
Right, right.
But the one thing that I've been doing for a long time that I think is fun, but I haven't done the last few years just based on work schedules and things like that. But my buddies that we all grew up with, there's like a group of like, I don't know, 8 of us that are like really close. And then there's like a bigger group and like 25 of us come and play a touch football tournament, 5 mm-hmm. teams to 5 on Black Friday every year. And, you know, it's like all these dudes that at this point in life, like I only see literally once a year and I pretty much forget about the rest of the year, but this one day a year you see them. And, I'm playing in that for the first time in like 3 or 4 years and I'm wildly out of shape. So I'm going to be the check down guy. I think that's my role.
Right.
Because I don't know. My brother's going to be the quarterback. I'm a twin. And my brother's like, dude, you're not going deep. I was like, yeah, I'm not. You're right. You totally.
Show me the screen.
I don't know. Like if you're listening right now and next week's episode or something, I'm really sore. You'll know why. Because this is the most like physical activity I've done in like 6 months. So.
Yeah, man, I hear you. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes. Anyway, Kenny, what's next for you? What is 2024 look like for you, or maybe the end of 2023? I know we're kind of winding down here in 2023, but what does the new year look like for you?
We got some more stuff with Austin. Cool. We got some shows. 2024 is pretty busy in that sense, but also just still pursuing the artist thing, man. That's always my heart for sure. That I think that'll always be my heart. So, just a whole lot of back and forth, a whole lot
any
of music.
Plans to release anything or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Yeah. Blue Collar is in the works right now. So that'll come out as soon as possible. And, got some other stuff that I'm sitting on that I hope to release in 2024 too. So. Sweet.
Keep it up, man. You're great. Your voice is fantastic. You're a great songwriter. I mean, obviously you're a great guitar player as well. Even if you don't think you are, you're way better than me, and that's all that matters. But you're doing great things. You're staying involved and you are honing in on your craft. And I think that's all you can ask from a 21-year-old guy. And I think that's fantastic. So keep it up. Keep being a good dude. Keep up the hard work. And I can't wait to see where you go in this new year and just years to come. So thanks for coming
thank
hang out.
So much. Absolutely. Thank you.
Of course. Anytime you put out more music and you say, hey, Kyle, I want to come back, you let me know. And that's
yeah, absolutely.
I always welcome that. It hasn't been done a ton. It's been done a few times. And I don't see anything wrong with that at all. I love it. I think it's great to catch Absolutely. Up and get updated on new songs. So when you got the stuff, let me know and we can figure it out. Everybody, you can go and follow Kenny on Instagram. Kenny Whitmire, all one word, underscore, sorry. Kenny Whitmire, underscore, all one word. And, you know, stay up to date with, you know, all that good stuff. Show announcements with Austin Snell, just his own music, his own songs that he's writing, all that good stuff. And, you know, keep a lookout for 2024 and new music and new songs and Blue Collar. Great song. Can't wait for that one. It's just going to be a great year for him. And I'm excited to see, you know, what comes of it and follow along for all the good stuff. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars. If you love the episode and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. I know we're 2 weeks from now, but I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving and, you know, ate a lot of food and drank a lot of beer and maybe played a lot of football. We'll check in next week. We'll see where I'm at. But thanks for tuning in. I'm Kyle. That's Kenny. We'll see you next week. Peace out.